Thank you. We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember. We will. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
You're our creator, our life sustainer. Our peace in the midst of the storm.
With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with the wind. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you grace, for great is thy faithfulness.
When we walk through life's darkest valley, we will look back.
And we will shout, our God is good, and He is a faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one from whom all blessings flow. Stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you'd love me, would never leave me, and I've never been the same. We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness.
Before I go sit down, I just want to say, the whole time I was singing that song, I'm just so thankful for memories, and the memories that we have with our families, the memories that we have with our fathers and our mothers. But I'm so thankful that I'll never forget the day that God saved me.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that I was saved downstairs in those little colorful chairs that I hope we never get rid of. Don't get rid of them chairs. But I'm just so thankful for that memory of salvation and that I have a heavenly father. I have an amazing earthly father, an amazing heavenly father. I'm just thankful for memories, and I'll never forget the day that he saved me, and I'm just thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. Glad you're here this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, happy Father's Day to all you daddies. And we appreciate you. And I'm just so very thankful and honored to be a father myself. Got the best daughter in the world. And so we love you. So very proud of you. And what a blessing it is to, again, just be able to say I'm a father. I do not take that responsibility lightly. I want to be the best father I could possibly be, and I know you do as well. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. So good to see everybody this morning. Hope everybody's doing good. Everybody awake this morning? Yeah, all right. Well, that's good, that's good. And I got a couple things I want to mention. First and foremost, I'll just ask if all the dads, all the fathers would stay after the invitation for just a few moments, and we'll ask you to come forward, and we're giving out two pies for every father, two pies, you know what I'm saying? And so the Braves game comes on this afternoon, so you can eat one pie in the first inning and eat the other pie in the ninth inning, and so you know what I'm saying? And eat what you want to in between. It's Father's Day, so we're going to treat ourselves. And but anyway, just remember that. Appreciate Miss Terry and Brother Allen for making those and bringing those today. So very thankful for that. And no PM service tonight. Spend time with your dad, that male figure in your life. And so just remember that. I do want to mention just a couple prayer requests. Miss Carla Rich, her brother Don, has been in Tanner Medical Center in Villa Rica. Is that right, Miss Leah? And he was actually unresponsive the other day. I believe he's, I don't want to say life support, was it? Life support. And so just remember him in your prayers, if you would. Miss Dolores Palmer, she was in the hospital in Rome, but she's been released from the hospital. She's at home doing better. She fainted. She fell. I believe she hit her head, but they checked her out. She's doing fine. They are waiting on some blood work, so remember that. Remember Miss Dolores in your prayers, if you would. We got so many others to pray for. Just grab a church bulletin, if you would, in the foyer or to my right, your left. Would appreciate that so very much. And I just want to say thank you for our outreach team showing up yesterday. It was hot. It was hot yesterday, but we were able to knock on about 41 doors and invite some folks to church, invite some folks to our singing on this coming up Saturday. So remember that. This coming up Saturday, Ivan Parker will be here. Used to sing with the Gaithers, 4 o'clock. And so just remember that. This will not be aired. This will not be on Facebook. This will not be, none of that will be advertised live. So you have to be in-house. So invite others to come if you would. Let's try to pack out God's house on that Saturday. It's going to be a great, great time. And then I want to say briefly, next Sunday night, I asked Brother Kevin Brook if he would bring the message for us. And so Brother Kevin will be doing that next Sunday night. And then, of course, the following Sunday will be Youth Sunday, morning and night. Brother Brian, Brother CJ. And so just remember those things. All right. You here to worship this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. God has something for us. I know He does. And so let's pray. Father, we love You today. We thank You for all things. We thank You for the pleasant things, and God, we just thank You for the rough things. Although we don't like the rough things, we thank You for the rough things because it takes all things, Lord, to mature us and to teach us to be thankful. And so, God, we're a thankful people this morning. Thanks for all the dads that are here. Lord, thank You for choosing me to be a father. I just am so very thankful for that, Lord. Help us today. Get out of the way. Let You shine through, Lord. Use us for Your honor and glory. Be with the music, the singers, audio, video men, everybody taking part, musicians and all. We just love You today, and we thank You for all things. In Jesus' name, we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Church choir, if you'll take a hymnal, turn over to page number 139.
Page 139, we're going to sing at Calvary. But I've got a praise this morning. It's great to hear that the organ is fixed. Amen. It's great to hear Miss Catherine back over there. That's been missed. And we are so thankful for it. Stand with me. Page 139, let's all sing at Calvary. All right, here we go now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
On the last, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found. Sing that chorus again. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Boy, I'm thankful for Calvary. Amen. Had it not been for Calvary, had it not been for that old rugged cross, and had it not been for a Savior that was willing to die for my sins, I would forever be destined for hell. But thank God, I've been set free from all that. Amen. And you have as well. We ought to all be up on our feet at one time, just giving him praise, because he's worthy. Amen. He is worthy, and I'm so thankful that he is here with us this morning. Let me leave a special prayer request for you. I've mentioned this to the choir, and over the past couple of weeks, I had a dear friend. His name is Craig Ramirez, and his daughter, she went home to be with the Lord a couple of weeks ago, very young. She's 33 years old, and it's been the past few weeks for them have been just a very treacherous time, and yesterday we had her service. And her homegoing celebration of life. And I just praise the Lord for being with us, having an opportunity to speak in that. But you can imagine what he would be going through today. I reached out to him this morning and said, it's hard for me to do, but I've got to tell you Happy Father's Day. And so please remember that family in prayer. And pray that the Lord would just be with them, comfort them in a very special way. And I have another praise this morning. CJ mentioned this. He's still sharp. I'm old. But he said, you know, we have three generations this morning to be taking place with our music department, and I'm very thankful for that. And look over there, and this morning's lesson was that's my boy. And CJ, this morning you said, I know I'm not your son. I'm very aware of that. But I'll tell you this morning, to me, you're my son. And I'm thankful, and I'm very blessed. And I look over there, and I see Jackson, and I am very thankful, and I've got a lot to be thankful for. And you don't have that everywhere, but three generations leading in worship today, and I am thankful. I praise the Lord for it. But we're going to go to him again in a word of prayer. You know exactly all the prayer requests that have been given, and some folks really stand in need of prayer. The Lord also knows what we need financially. And we're going to ask him to give us a special blessing today, because he knows what we need. Again, it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. Happy Father's Day to you all. I hope you enjoy all those pies. If it takes more than two to get them out of here, don't leave any behind. All right? Don't leave any behind, because I surely don't need to take them home with me. But you enjoy those, and we're honored to be able to just share that with you this morning. Father, we love you when we do praise you. And Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the fathers that are here and for the families that are represented. Lord, some are no longer with us, and Lord, I pray a special blessing upon those. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Craig and the Ramirez family today. You know exactly, Lord, the peace that they stand in need of today that only you can give. We can find no words to say. Lord, there's nothing that we can do that only you can do, Lord. Give them the peace that does pass all understanding. Lord, for those that are here with us this morning, I pray that a special blessing be upon them. Lord, as we spend time with our fathers and, Lord, with our families today, I just pray that you just be with each one. Lord, may we realize how short life truly is. Spend this time today loving on each other. God, I pray that you just give us a special service today. Be with our pastor. Speak through him what we need. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us an opportunity to sing and to worship you, blessing this next song. We'll praise you for all you do, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him and how He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valleys He's led me, afraid as I could be, until I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and just what I need. I've been through enough
He's come through too many times. That puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Oh, I believe Him now. After all these years, He's been so faithful. He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why. Cause I've seen Him work before, and I know what God can do. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times. That puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all you need. He's all you need. Jesus is all you. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me.
Amen.
Be here this morning. Praise the Lord. He is all we need. And many times we find out He is all we need when He is all we've got. And appreciate the Lord. I want to say happy Father's Day to my grandfather this morning. Happy Father's Day, Paul. We love you. Appreciate you. And good to see y'all here this morning. My dad went home to be with the Lord back in December, and love him, miss him. Happy Father's Day to him. But most of all, happy Father's Day to my Heavenly Father. And He is a good, good Father. And my dad was a good, good father, And my grandfather is a good, good father. And so we appreciate you. We appreciate all you fathers. And what a blessing it is to be able to stand and share some things with you on Father's Day. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, please take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. And as you're turning there, I do want to say thank you for our visitors coming. And we appreciate you. And it's an honor and a joy to have you this morning. And whether this is your first time or it's just been a long time since you've been here, welcome to Calvary. I do want to bow for a word of prayer. And just after we pray, we're going to read out of Mark 5, verse 22 through 24, and then 35 through 43. I don't really do a lot of reading in my text verses, but this morning we're going to do that for the sake of getting the full story. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. I pray in the next few moments, God, that you would touch me, be with me, give me a clear head and a calm heart. God, I wait on you this morning. Help me not say anything that's not from you, but everything that is from you. Lord, I just pray that you would help me through the Holy Spirit connect to the hearts of those that are here, those that are watching on Facebook, listening on the internet. God, we just want to be a blessing and a help even on this day, Father's Day. We love you today and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Before we read, I want to summarize what's taking place here in Mark chapter number 5. Jesus had just returned from the land of the Gadarenes, where he cast out an unclean spirit from a man that was possessed with the devil, the Bible says, in verse number 15. He was the maniac man of Gadara. In the Lord, he turned this maniac man into a divine messenger. God can do that, you know. God can take a life that seems to be hopeless and helpless, living in darkness. This demonic maniac man was living in the cemetery, cutting himself and crying. And so God changed his life. The Lord can change our lives this morning if we let him. And so we see that Jesus had just returned from that trip. Now he's on the other side of the sea there at Capernaum. And a large group of people is gathered unto him. Jesus is on the move. Jesus is performing miracles. Jesus is working. Jesus is ministering, and so therefore there's a crowd. And with that said, I want to begin reading in verse number 22 and look at an account here that has to do with a man named Jairus. Verse number 22, the Bible says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Look down in verse number 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. That's reading Mark chapter number 5 this morning, verse number 22 down through verse 24, then verse number 35 down to the last verse, verse number 43 of the chapter. I'm interested in this man named Jairus this morning. Notice again in verse number 22, the Bible says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Jairus was one of the rulers of the synagogue, the Bible says, or directors of the synagogue. He oversaw the operations in the synagogue. He arranged the services in the synagogue in all likelihood. He did custodial duties, I'm sure, in this synagogue. He was well known and respected in the community. But more than all of those things, Jairus was a father. He was a father. And here in these scriptures, we see that Jairus was concerned about his daughter who was sick at the point of death. You see, it didn't matter about his job title or his social status in the community. His daughter was sick, and she took first place during this time. I guess we could say that Jairus was a father first. Let us fathers this morning not be so busy trying to earn our salt, we forget about our sugar. Our wives are our sugars, and our kids are our sugars. And so Jairus was a father first. We need some fathers today that will be fathers first. Again, not worried and wrapped up in this world system and worried about social status or job titles, but let us make it count where it counts most, and that is the home place. That was Jairus. He was a father first. Let us men keep our finger on the pulse of our family relationships and act accordingly. So we see Jairus occupying the position of a father above all. This morning, for a few moments, I want to preach on this subject, a father named Jairus. A father named Jairus. I want to mention three things that his daughter saw in him. Three simple things that this little girl that was 12, that was sick and that died and that God raised up from her deathbed and healed her, three things that this daughter must have seen in her father Jairus. Let this message this morning be a challenge and be an encouragement to all of us fathers, but not just fathers only. Let this message be a challenge and encouragement to all Christians to be better Christians along with better fathers. And so number one, what does she see in her father? She saw a father who was not ashamed to seek Jesus. In verse number 22, if you notice with me, the Bible says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. So we have Jairus leaving the synagogue. We have Jairus leaving his job. We have Jairus rushing to meet Jesus, to see Jesus, because Jairus had a little girl who was sick. And we see that Jairus went after Jesus. The Bible says, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jairus was a father who was not ashamed to seek Jesus. Over, and don't turn there, but Luke chapter number 8, verse 41, the Bible says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. And so Jairus, we have this father who was not afraid, not ashamed to go after God. And his little girl knew that. She was sick at home, and because of how the story develops and how the story ends, she knew that her daddy was all in after Jesus. So we have a father who unashamedly sought Jesus on his daughter's behalf, regardless of his work and regardless of his social status. He was a father first. It is so important, dads, that our kids see us go after Jesus. Whether we realize it or not, we are shaping our children's minds and hearts by our actions. If they see us go after God, in all likelihood, they will go after God. If they don't see us go after God, in all likelihood, they won't go after God. And so Jairus was that man, but there needs to be some more Jairus fathers in our day. I also want you to notice that Jairus didn't come at night as Nicodemus did. You remember the story? Nicodemus was bashful. Nicodemus was timid. He was a teacher, didn't want nobody to see him. And so he went at nighttime, but Jairus went during the day. And that was because he was unashamed to follow Jesus. And the little girl knew that she had a daddy that was unafraid to follow Jesus, unafraid to seek Jesus. Not only Jairus didn't come at night to meet Jesus, but Jairus didn't send his wife to seek Jesus. Jairus saw Jesus. Can I say that in the day and time in which we live, there are so many wives seeking Jesus by themselves. The dads are staying home. They're not coming to church, and they're not seeking Jesus. The wives are seeking Jesus by themselves. They're going to church by themselves. They're praying to God by themselves. They're bearing burdens by themselves. Oh, that dads would seek the Lord and resume the priestly responsibilities in the home. The husbands are the head of the home. The wives are the heart of the home. The kids are the hope of the home. Us husbands, we are the priests of the home. Let us seek Jesus. Let our kids see us seek Jesus. This little girl, she was sick on her deathbed, and she knew that her daddy was out there trying to get a hold of God. Oh, let us fathers be guilty of seeking Jesus. Let our kids see us in a regular prayer time in our house. Let our kids see us reading the Bible. Let our children, let our wives, let our spouses see us going after God. Let them see it so that they can also live it. Because they don't care what we say, they care what we do. And this morning we see that we have a father here who was not ashamed to seek Jesus. So he was going after God. That's what she saw in her father, was a man that was seeking Jesus. Number two, not only that, but she saw a father who was not ashamed to bring Jesus home. You say, well, that's the same thing. No, it's not. Verse number 23, the Bible says, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him and much people followed him and thronged him or crowded him. Jesus went to his house. He brought Jesus home. Luke chapter number, don't turn there. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. This little girl saw a daddy that not only was seeking Jesus, but unashamedly brought Jesus home. You see, men, it is simply not enough to just go to God's house on Sundays. It is simply not enough to go to God's house on Wednesdays. It is simply not enough to go to Jubilees and revival. But we have to be sure that we bring Jesus home. To the man this morning who thinks going to church is enough, seeking Jesus on Sundays is enough, and you're done, you're wrong. You're wrong, whoever you are. You're wrong, mister. It's not just seeking Jesus in church, but it's bringing Jesus at home, to home, and seeking him at home. There are many a men who go to church only to come home and the chaos continues. Only to come home and the abuse continues. Only to come home and the unchanged habits continue. If you're going to seek Jesus and go to church, do it with your whole heart and be changed by the grace of God and be the dad, the husband God wants you to be and knows you can be. This morning, Father, bring Jesus home. Bring Jesus home. So we see that Jairus was bringing Jesus home. His daughter knew that he was seeking Jesus. His daughter knew that he brought Jesus home because he came to the house. Oh, it's my prayer this morning that I would bring Jesus home. That I would be the same man and I am at home as I am on Sundays. My prayer for you, men, that you would be the same men at home that you are on Sundays. Let us just bring Jesus home. I want you to notice something else. In verse number 24, progress slowed. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. Progress slowed. There was a crowd. They wanted to see this miracle of Jesus touching this sick young girl. And the Bible says that the crowd thronged him, crowded him out. So this man was going to his house with Jesus, and all these people were everywhere. And I can imagine he's tripping, stumbling, falling over, being stopped and held back. Progress slowed. And in the middle of all of it, there was a woman who was sick with an issue of blood. And she touched the hem of his garment, and he spent some time dealing with that woman's situation. Progress slowed. Even though Jairus was seeking God and bringing God to the house, and his daughter knew it, it was still a work in progress. Men, don't be so hard on yourself. Yes, I want to challenge you and challenge myself to seek Jesus and bring Jesus home. But don't be so hard on yourself when progress is slow, because progress is progress this morning. Amen. I'm not all I should be, Mama Paul. But y'all know I ain't what I used to be. And praise the Lord, I'm not what I'm going to be. You may look at me and listen, my family knows me best, and there are some areas that I need to grow and mature in. And listen, progress is slow. I like to think I'm still growing, and I like to think I'm still maturing. Not as fast as I want to, but I'll tell you this, there is progress, but it's slow. And so when the devil comes by your house and says, Daddy, husband, you're garbage. You just tell him to go on back to hell where he came from, because that's going to be his final destination. And you tell him you're not who you used to be. You're not who you're going to be. And praise God, you're going to be perfect one day in heaven with Jesus. Rejoice in any progress, dads. But make progress. I like, let me rephrase that. I don't like football. I'm wearing a football tie. Okay, I'm a mixed bag on Sundays. Okay? Now, that GT stands for God's team, so hush. See it? I like football a little bit. I'm a baseball man. I'm a baseball man. Can't y'all see me in a Braves uniform this morning? You know, running those bases. GT, God's team. When it comes to football, I like this. They celebrate first downs. They try to run the ball to the end zone, and boy, they'd love it just to throw a Hail Mary and 100-yard touchdown. But, Brother Celon, it don't work that way. You got to get it a little bit at a time. And so they go for them first downs. Hut, hut. They'll hand it off. They'll throw it off, and they'll get over here by fourth down. Boom, get a first down. They celebrate the first down because it starts all over. And they do it again. Boom, first down. Boom, first down, first down, first down. And then finally, touchdown. Men, women, celebrate small victories. Celebrate those first downs. Because before this thing is going to be over with, we're going to be on the in the end zone of heaven celebrating with Jesus. My progress may be slow, but by George, there's progress. There is progress this morning. And so Jairus was taking Jesus. Jesus was coming to his house. And there was a crowd there. And then the woman with the issue of blood. Look at this, verse number 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? I don't believe he was trying to discourage the ruler of the synagogue, one of the rulers, this other guy, this associate. I don't think he was trying to discourage him. I just think that he was looking at the situation and said, I hate to tell you, Dad, your daughter's dead. He was looking and viewing at this with a through the natural lens of the eyes and not through the spiritual lens. Jairus was bringing Jesus home. She's not going to be dead long if she's dead. There are those times in life when we get discouraging news. And you know, the devil may say, it's over. Why even try? It's over. It's done. You'll never be the dad that you want to be. You'll never be the husband that you want to be. That ministry will never be like it should be. These things will never happen. I believe that he didn't mean it that way, but that's the way that it looked because he was looking through the eyes of the physical and not the spiritual. So progress slowed, and he was moving his way to the house with Jesus. So at the end of the day, we see that she saw a father who was not ashamed to bring Jesus home. I want you to notice this, again in verse number 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Much people followed him. A lot of people from church was coming home with him, we could say. I can see it now, Jairus. Hey, honey. I'm leaving the church, and I just want you to know that I've got a large group of people coming home. Christy, church is over, and for whatever reason, you couldn't be there, but Calvary's coming home. We're all going to pile up in the living room and just have church. And so this was what it was looking like. And the wife was at home, and Jairus was coming, fumbling around in the crowd, and Jesus was leading the way. And this setback with this woman that got healed, praise the Lord, she got healed, but it slowed his progress down. But here he comes with a crowd from church. Fathers, you follow Jesus, and the Jesus crowd will follow you. Jesus has an impact in our lives so much it dictates who we want to be around and who wants to be around us. You follow Jesus, the right people will follow you. You don't follow Jesus, you follow other things. Those kind of people will follow you. Birds of a feather flock together. So let us make sure that we're following Jesus so that we have Jesus followers following us. Sometimes people, they're like, I can't believe I got to the mess I'm in. I can't believe, you know, I'm in jail. I can't believe all these things. I can't believe I'm addicted to this. I can't believe I'm set back here. I can't believe this happened, that happened. Well, who are you hanging out with? Who are you following? Who's following you? But the truth of the matter is, we don't have to be following nobody to do bad. We can do bad all by ourselves. And so, fathers, you follow Jesus and the Jesus crowd will follow you. Jesus has an impact in our lives so much it dictates who we want to be around and who wants to be around us. The crowd from church was coming home. Dads, bring Jesus home. Don't just seek Jesus in church, but bring Jesus home. Assume that priestly role. Regulate, listen to me, regulate dad's activity in the home. What comes in and what goes out. It is your call, Father, to regulate home activity. What's on the TV? What kind of shows are being watched? What kind of movies are being watched? What kind of food's coming in the house? We're all to strive to be a little bit healthier, aren't we? TV and food and music and entertainment, substances, alcohol, drugs, let that not be named among you, because when your kids see you do that, they will implement what they see daddy doing. Amen. Dads, regulate activity in the home. Listen, I'm not up here flipping my self-righteous suspenders saying I'm perfect. I'm not. But somebody needs to stand up and say it. And the pastor needs to. The preacher all over this world need to stand up and hold dads accountable and throw out the challenge to all Christians to seek Jesus. And you can't get mad at me because you're at church. You're seeking Jesus. I'm just extending the invitation to bring them home. Regulate activity in the home. Assume that priestly role in the home. Don't just let everything fly. In the home, Dad, speak of Jesus often. Let your kids see you pray. Read the Bible. Exhibit the love of God with love and respect to everybody in the home. Because those kids are going to treat people the way you treat people and the way you treat your spouse, Dad. That's how their minds get formed. How daddy treated mama is how their minds get formed. And so if I love my wife like I'm supposed to love my wife, the Bible says in Ephesians that I ought to not only cherish and nourish my flesh, but I will cherish and nourish her flesh, because we're not two, but we're one. And then we got a little girl in the back who's been watching this for going on 17 years. And she'll testify she doesn't have a perfect daddy. She'll testify that she doesn't have a perfect mama. But she also knows she has two parents that are endeavoring to make it work, that are endeavoring to do things right, that are endeavoring to keep God first, that are endeavoring to make it 20 years in marriage. We're getting ready to celebrate 19, looking forward to 20. I told Christy the other day I better get some money going because I believe that's an upgrade on the wedding ring. At least that's what I want to do, because I love her and she's put up with me. She deserves a little bit bigger diamond on it, right? She's not a material girl. But I just like to decorate her because I love her. We're not perfect. We're constantly working through issues, whether it's Lily's school, whether it's Christy's job, or whether it's the church here. We are constantly in a team huddle, and we are constantly working towards our goal, trying to make things work. And if we didn't keep Jesus the centerpiece, if we didn't zero in on Him, if we didn't keep Him in our scopes, I guarantee you, things will not go good at her school. Things will not go good at Christy's job. And things will definitely not go good here. We have a strong support system, and I appreciate my girls. And Lily this morning said, I'm her superhero. So right there in the heart. And so, dads, we are to treat our spouses right. And in return, our children will grow up and they will be mature above their years. Speak of Jesus often. Show the love of God often. You say, well, there's failure in my house. What better place is it to fall than at home? If you fall anywhere, if there's failure anywhere, let failure be in the home. Meaning, you failed, I forgive you. You didn't do good today at school, I forgive you. You're having a hard day at work and coming home and letting daddy have it, I forgive you. I come home from church, letting the house have it, they forgive me. If you're going to fail, fail at home, because at the house, at the home place, there ought to be the love of God there. So Jairus was a father who was a father first. He sought Jesus. He brought him home. Progress slowed, but yet he continued. Continue, Dad, continue. Seeking Jesus and striving to bring him home. Let me mention a third thing this morning. Not only that, but she saw a father who put her welfare in the hands of God. This is a hard one. To have something go wrong with your child physically, as this is the case here, he's at the point of death, and Dad, you've done all you could do. How hard is that? To turn it over totally to God. When us dads, and ladies, I'm sure some of you realize this, those who have been married a number of years, but us men are created different than you. We're dads, we're husbands, we want to fix everything. And when I can't fix something for Christy or I can't fix something for Lily, there's a part of me that feels like a failure. Oh, God. I'm just not a good husband, or this won't be happening. I'm just not a good dad, or this wouldn't be happening. I'm a failure. And don't you know the tempter loves coming up to you and I when we have those emotions of feeling like a failure, because he will say, you are a failure. And so us dads at the end of the day, us husbands at the end of the day, we want to fix things. It's in our DNA to work and to fix. So this man, he couldn't fix his daughter. And so he got to a place where he turned over his daughter into the care of God. You may not have a child this morning that is sick. You may have a child this morning who is away from God or don't know God or out of God's will. It is the calling of a father to commit our children to God. How hard is that to do? I mean, Lily has 2 more years of school. And as things go, she's supposed to leave the nest, but we're not going to kick her out. Y'all think I'm going to kick my girl out? We're encouraging her to grow, and we're encouraging her to work, and she wants to work. And we only got 2 more years, though. She'll be in 11th grade, and she'll be a senior. And the closer these years close in, I get closer and closer to the reality. Number one, of her driving a car on the road. And number two, going to work every day. Listen, I know how crazy it is out here on these roads. All right, I'm 42. I've been driving since I was a teenager. I know, and it's difficult for me sometimes. Much less turning my daughter loose on an open road and then going to work, and there's people at work, and everybody at work's not nice, and there may be some men there who may try to impose on her. And if I'm not careful, I'll just stay in a ball of stress, a ball of anxiety. I'm not ready to let her go. But sure enough, as I'm an inch tall, there's coming a day where I'm going to have to let her go. And God knows I've had to let her go millions of times since she's been a baby coming into this world. God reminded me that that's my baby. Times where she was sick, times where she wasn't feeling good, times where things were going on in school and I couldn't figure out how to get the problem solved, and I had to go to the school, excuse me, and talk to administration and work things out. And things would still be going bad. And there was a time where she was bullied at school and all of these things. And I said, oh God, I commit her to you, or I'm going to go crazy. The day's going to come, that ultimate step, when she says, Dad, Mom, I got my career going. Got me a house lined up, a place to stay. Going off to college, whatever. And so, I love y'all and thank y'all for raising me. That is going to be hard for this guy and for her mama as well. But that's the way it's supposed to go. They're supposed to leave the nest. I just can't get by this truth of Jairus and how he just went to God and said, God, there's nothing else I can do. Please touch her. Friend of mine, that is an amount of faith that you have to possess in God. I mean, in order to turn this thing over. That is teetotal faith, in my estimation, is trusting God with your kids when there's nothing more that you can do. Verse number 41, the Bible says this, listen. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. So she was laying down. The associate at the synagogue says she's dead. He sought Jesus. Jairus brought him home, fought through the crowd. Progress slowed, but got there. Jesus told her to arise and, hey, Daddy. First of all, I want to say thank you for seeking Jesus. And Daddy, thank you for bringing Jesus home. And Daddy, thank you for putting me in the hands of Jesus. Think about the faith the little girl had when she arose. She saw a father who put her welfare in the hands of Jesus. Jairus came to Christ for help and put his daughter's welfare in the hands of Jesus, totally dependent upon him for divine intervention. She knew that when Jesus came, that her daddy got a hold of God for her. Dads, let's get a hold of God for our kids. Let's get a hold of God for our families. That marriage doesn't have to be over. You can still be a great father. Get a hold of God for your family. Seek Jesus. Bring Jesus home. Keep progressing and be dependent upon Him for a divine touch at your home place. When our family sees it's important to us, it'll be important to them. I want to leave you with this morning. Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. Don't turn there. Isaac seen his father Abraham firsthand trust God at a moment that involved Isaac. This was the biggest test yet of the duo's life, minus Sarah. The Bible says in Genesis 22, verse number 1, and the Lord God did tempt Abraham. Not solicitation to commit sin, but tested. Tested. Abraham had come through a lot of events in his life, and now was the test. You know, that's what happens when you're a student and there's a teacher. We go to school and then we get tested. God said, I want you to present your son Isaac a sacrifice on one of the mountains, which I'll tell thee of. So we have a crisis in the home. Abraham knows that Isaac is to be the sacrifice. Isaac doesn't know that, but it involves Isaac and it involves Abraham's heart. I can imagine Abraham hiking up that mountain and Isaac saying, Dad, there's the wood. There's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide. There was a crisis going on in the heart of Daddy Abraham concerning his son. Dads, let us trust God in the most vulnerable times in our life when there are crises which are involving our children. Let us not give up on God. Let us not retreat or get cold spiritually, but let us keep climbing that mountain following God. So Isaac was on the altar. Abraham had the dagger. And he was going to obey God and slay his son like God said. Listen, you say, I don't understand that. Neither did Abraham. Abraham didn't understand it. You know, there are some things in life that our families will go through that we just don't understand. And if we're not tied strongly to Jesus and anchored in the Scriptures, we could even doubt that God even cares. God, if you cared, this wouldn't be happening to me and my family. No, wait a minute. He cares. He's just testing you to see where the progress is at. So the dagger was going down, and Abraham, Abraham, put not forth thy hand to slay thy son. Abraham looked up, and behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. A perfect sacrifice. God provided in their crisis. We as parents, we experience crises after crises as spouses. Listen, the devil's trying to blow everybody's house down that's here this morning. And he is knocking and he is wanting to get in. And we experience these crises. But it's so important that us dads, as the leader of the home, stay anchored to Jesus. Dive deep in the Scriptures. Because when that crisis came, there was also a substitute that came. You may be here this morning, Dad, and have a crisis in your life, in the home place. Be like Abraham. You may not understand it. You may not even agree with it, but keep doing what God has said to do, and He will provide Himself, or He will provide for you. That's the name that Abraham named that place, or named God. He said, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Do you know Him as provider this morning? I want to come. Do you know Him as Savior this morning? Has there ever been a time and place in your life where you did the ABCs of salvation? A, admit you're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Not with baptism man believeth unto righteousness, not with good works or some religious activity, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A, admit. B, believe. And C, confess. Confess. If you were to die today, where would you go? To heaven or hell? There is a real heaven. There is a real hell. And so you have to ask yourself, where will you be 100 years from now? And why do you say you'll be there? If it's anything outside of embracing Jesus as your Savior, that is not the confidence that you need to die on. You need to die with Jesus being your personal Lord and Savior. You may just be here this morning again going through a crisis, and you just might need the Lord to step in and do something great. Would you come and ask Him to do so? So as we stand this morning, let's all stand through the house with our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. Just wanted to talk about a father named Jairus. Lord, help us all, not just dads, but moms and grandparents and aunts and uncles and Christians. Just allow others to see us seeking you. Let it be known that we live for you at home and that we put the people we love into your care, God. So hard to do, but Lord, help us be like this dad, Jairus, this morning. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. All right, we're going to have a little bit of music here, instrumental, whatever Brother Randy has. You come and pray this morning if you need to come. Don't leave anybody at the altar by themselves. You come and pray with somebody if you need to come.
Empty and broken.
Who else will come? Anybody else this morning need to come? We're all a work in progress. This is why we're here, to respond. Don't be bashful to respond if you need to. If you need to come get saved, come get saved. If you need to just ask the Lord for a special touch, you do that too. Pray for these that are here. Listen to these words. Over and over. Anybody else? Make this the best Father's Day ever. Do it, Father. Do it. Do it, Christian. Do it. Doesn't throw the clay away. Thank God for that. There's still time for you as we play softly if you need to come. We appreciate those who did come this morning, and take this message home with you. You need somebody to talk to later on today or this week, call me. My name's on the bulletin. My number's on the bulletin. We can do business outside of church as well. All right. Appreciate that, Brother Randy. What we're going to do is we're going to change the service at this time. You may be seated for just one or two more minutes, if you would. Ladies, come on in. Sugars, come on in with the sugar. And they're coming in. They're going to. Wow, look at this. Thank you. And Let me say this. Fathers, after you come and receive your pie, if you would you just stand up front and make a line like we do on Mother's Day? We'd like to take a big old group photo, if you don't mind. And we've got a special song we're going to play, so whenever you're ready, go ahead and hit that. All right, if you're a father, come on down and get a pie. Two pies for every father. Let's go.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like.
Be bashful, man.